This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. When most foster kids turn 18, they are on their own, responsible for finding housing, making money, or contributing to their education. And without a solid support system, many of them don't make it. They're more likely to experience mental illness, teen pregnancy, and homelessness, and much less likely to go to college. But a new program at Wake Technical Community College is trying to turn these statistics around. The Fostering Bright Futures program started in 2008. It's aimed at helping foster care children earn a college degree and learn life skills to counter some of their unique challenges. We're joined first by one of those students in the program. Tamisha Pittman started the program this January. She's pursuing an Associate of Arts degree. Welcome, Tamisha. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
What are you studying?
I am doing Associate's in Arts transfer to a four-year university. And once I get there, I want to major in mass communications.
Now, this is not your first time in community college, right? You were at Guilford for a while.
No, I was. I was at Guilford Tech Community College in Greensboro, North Carolina. Once I turned 21, I started. Did actually the same thing I'm doing now at Wake Tech. But it was nothing like it is now because I did not have the support there that I have here.
Well, tell us what it was like for you. I mean, obviously, you're planning to go to college. It's a good plan. You're in, right? You got in.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, at Guilford.
At Guilford,
yeah. Once I got into Guilford, I mean, I did everything necessary to make sure my financial aid was submitted and that I registered for my classes on time. But I actually didn't apply for enough loans to pay for housing, because that's what the extra loan money is for, to help you with housing and, you know, any other necessities that you need. But it ended up falling back on me, and I ended up having to come home because I didn't have enough to satisfy my rent. And that's because I was unaware that I actually had to go apply for the loans. I thought they were automatically given to me.
So to understand perhaps why you might have failed to make those payments and find out about all the loans available to you, mm-hmm. maybe it's important for us to understand a little bit about your backstory and your life in foster care, particularly leading up to community college.
Yeah, well, I came into foster care at the age of 15, and it was honestly the worst experience ever. But I've honestly learned a lot from it. Just coming from a place where there was minimal support. I can't say I didn't have any. I did have some, but it was minimal. A lot of my family did not go to college. A lot of them, my mother didn't finish high school, so it was just kind of like something that wasn't necessary. But I knew that I wanted something different for myself, so it was always necessary for me to go ahead and do what I had to do to make sure that I was able to graduate from high school and get into college.
And when you say you came into foster care at 15, I mean, you were left alone in some pretty tough circumstances at the age of 15, right? Tell us about that.
Well, I came in, I wasn't totally alone. I do have five other siblings who came in with me. I'm the oldest of 10 kids, but only six of us actually came into care. And me and my brothers were together initially, and I was just like the problem child. So I rebelled a lot against my foster parents and just did not want to be there because, like I said, I was 15. I was halfway, I guess, you know, already there and was used to my mom. So to take me away from her, it was just kind of like, no, absolutely not. But after a while, as I got older, it was just dealing with the fact that understanding that everything happens for a reason and, you know, God makes no mistakes. So it was just like, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to use it as a stepping stone rather than a block, you know.
So you've got all of this good intention and this kind of spiritual grit. You are ready to go.
Yeah.
You're learning from this mistake. And then you get to community college and you realize there are all these things that.
Right, exactly. And it was just kind of like, wow, this is a lot. And I mean, if you ask the right questions, they'll give you the answers. But if you don't ask, they won't tell you. Yeah. With Foster and Bright Futures, they let you know everything that you need to do to make sure that you're all prepared for college and that you have a successful semester, school year, you know. So I'm very, very, very grateful for the program.
Well, let's find out a little, forgive me for interrupting, okay, no problem.
I
want to find out more about that program now. We're joined by the coordinator of Fostering Bright Futures at Wake Tech, Michelle Blackman. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you just heard a little bit of Tamisha's story. I know you already know that story. What is it about the Fostering Bright Futures program that would make a change? What's the difference?
The difference is with Fostering Bright Futures is that the main concept is for us to eliminate barriers for students aging out of foster care and who are interested in attending college. So what we have done is put the staff and a committee in place who actually look at the needs of our students. And we talk with our students and find out what is it about, what was it that you were missing, and what do you want us to do? We try to empower our students and let them give us feedback as well. So what we do is we just make sure that our students are well prepared, they have all the information that they need to be successful. And the other thing that I've found with these with our students is the fact that they have to have that trust. They have to know that when you say you're going to do something, you're going to follow through with it. And that's what Fostering Bright Futures is all about, is making sure that our students are successful.
Well, it's a real relationship. I mean, the students have to know they're going to follow through. But even for the school itself and for faculty, what are the misconceptions that you found they would need to work through in order for a program like yours to work?
What I want the community, faculty, staff, anyone out there to know is that students aging out of foster care, and this is just how I feel about it, is that majority of these students did not ask to be in foster care. And what I want the community to do is pretty much just embrace our students and let them know that we are here for you, because 3% of youth aging out of foster care will not attend college or they will not graduate. So we want the community to understand that these are our youth. They really want to be successful, and all we need to do is just continue to give them the support, just like the Fostering Bright Futures program is doing.
Well, we're going to talk with another member of that program, another student who's in the program. Kelia Scott is studying cosmetology. She's been in the program for 2 years now. Kelia, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
It's interesting because you started at Wake Tech, but not in the Fostering Bright Futures program, right?
Right.
So tell us about your first year without the program.
Well, I started about 3 years ago, and I was going to take the prerequisite classes to get into the cosmetology program. But because I was just getting out of the system at about 18. So when I got to Wake Tech and I was starting the classes, I found it difficult to have someone to talk to when I was leaving from school. I was going through problems with certain people in my life outside of school. I couldn't concentrate in the classroom. It was just very, very, very difficult. Every day was a struggle.
Give us a sense, again, take us back to your life in the foster care system. How did that go for you, and when did it start?
It started at about 15. I went to, like, about 9 different homes because I was very, very, very rebellious. I wasn't used to staying with different people. I didn't know them. I just felt like they were complete strangers. So I bounced around to about 9 homes until the system, I guess, finally got tired of looking for me every time I ran away. So they took me to Jacksonville, which was about 3 hours away from Raleigh, in a locked facility where you could not leave. The doors were locked all the time. You were, like, not going anywhere. You were stuck there. So pretty much after that, I got to go home, but I aged out. So I was on my own after that. I was riding a bus one day to Wake Tech when I first started, and there was a girl up there. She was in foster care. I heard her say one of the foster mom's names that I used to stay with, so I asked her about her. And we were talking, and she asked me about the program. She was like, "Have you heard of the Brighter Futures program? You should go talk to Miss Michelle at Wake Tech." And I said, "Well, who is that?" And we pulled up at Wake Tech, and she walked me straight to Miss Michelle's door, and it started from that day.
So how did things change for you once you entered the program?
I had a lot of support. If I had any problems, I could turn to Miss Michelle. If I was going through anything, I could just, right after class, I just had someone to finally just go straight to talk to. It made me feel good because I had people that I knew that was on my side, that was watching me and that stayed on me to make sure that I was focused and I could, you know, concentrate on my schoolwork.
Well, and there were a lot of things that could have distracted you by that time, because you, first of all, in foster care, you were labeled, right? You needed a therapeutic environment. I mean, tell us how that all came about.
Well, I was in counseling a few years ago, like before I had even gotten to the program. I started taking counseling. So I had already had counseling before I entered the program, but I was talking to Miss Michelle on a day-to-day basis to, you know, help me with that.
And so when you got into the program, tell us how you're doing again in that first year at Wake Tech. I mean, were you going to finish the way things were going? Would you have gotten your associate's degree, do you think?
I don't think so, because I was late to class almost every day. I had a lot of absences. I was missing school. I couldn't concentrate. Some days, if I didn't have money, I wouldn't be able to make it down there. So it was just a lot going on. It was a lot that was actually hindering me from being successful.
Michelle, there are a lot of things sort of embedded in both of these stories. I mean, if Kelia says she went to 9 schools in 3 years, that suggests a pretty unstable environment for learning.
Correct.
So it's one thing to be a friend and to gain trust, but there are a lot of sort of material kind of needs that you have to deal with. How do you do that, and how is it different than just Wake Tech in general? And what's new about this program?
Well, any student coming to, attending Wake Tech has to do a placement test at Wake Tech to see where they are as far as their academic performance. And when our students come in, we know our students coming into the program, for the most part, majority of those students are going to probably start out at the bottom level as far as pre-curriculum classes. And that's simply because, like Kelia said, they've been bounced from one home to another home, and they've missed out on that important foundation of education that they need to be successful. So a lot of students come in and they are frustrated because they feel like the instructors, you know, they expect them to know, you need to know the basic math. So they come to me and they're frustrated with that fact. So what we do is we put tutors in place, and we have a wonderful staff at Wake Tech Community College who actually assist our students. They are our tutors. We actually provide tutoring sessions for all our students on campus to help them to be successful. And we have our ILC. There are different resources that we tap into to make sure that our students are successful in the Foster and Bright Futures program.
This program began in 2008. Foster care goes back way, way before that. So what was it that finally led to this program, and how did it get to Wake Tech?
We had two individuals who are currently on our advisory committee, on the Foster and Bright Futures Advisory Committee, who contacted our president, Dr. Stephen Scott, and they talked to him about their idea, the vision behind Foster and Bright Futures, and Dr. Scott was all for this program. And so they put things in place to get it started, and we have seen the growth in all our students. I mentioned earlier that, you know, 3% of our students become an agent out of foster care would not graduate. Well, we have proven that. We have 5 students who are graduated. We're expected to have 2 more graduating in December. So the program's working. It's not just Foster and Bright Futures doing this. It's a collaboration with other resources and other agencies outside of Wake Tech. And like I said, it's about us helping our students with their goals and empowering them to take the responsibility to reach their goals.
It seems like a remarkable transition in a short period of time, Tamisha. I mean, there was a time, I believe, am I right, where you in foster care, you weren't even talking.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's true. I was a total introvert. I didn't want to say anything to anybody. Like they did Kelia, they put a label on me. I had all these therapeutic issues, and I needed to take all this depression medicine. But that wasn't it. I just didn't get the love and attention and support that I needed. So I just felt like a lot of the foster parents I had, except for about 2, because I've been in about 5 different placements. So they were only doing it for the money. So I was a mute. I didn't talk to anybody.
Well, the interesting thing, and if anybody had seen you at that point in your life, they might have assumed that you had given up and that there wasn't much hope here.
Definitely.
Is that fair?
Definitely.
And how did you feel? Well, I mean, because part of you, again, you talked about, no, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to go to school. But was there a moment in that time when you did?
Honestly, it was realizing that I have 9 other siblings. I'm sorry, this is emotional. So it was realizing that I had 9 other siblings. And although, you know, my mom, we went through what we went through and still going through what we're going through. I love her to death. You know what I'm saying? You only get one. So it's just realizing that I have them that look up to me. So I have to do what I have to do to show them that although we came from nothing, we can be better. So that's really what's been my motivation, my brothers and sisters.
Kelia, what sense, I mean, it feels to me like your sense of responsibility, what Tamisha is saying, is that when you find this family that people care, that you have a sense of responsibility to them. I mean, to what extent do you tell yourself your success, you know, it reflects on them? I mean, is that part of what goes on in your mind, or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, that is true. It just helps me every day to know that I have people that do care about me, and that just gives me a drive every day. And then I have three children on my own. And they're three boys. And I always have this thing where I say I don't want them to be a statistic, because they are young. And I just want them to grow up to be, you know, great men. So I figure if I do my part as a mom and I push through and I get my education and I work hard, then it'll be the same way for them.
Michelle, we talked about statistics and numbers. I'm talking now with two of your students, who happen to be African American, but demographically, who's in foster care and who's in this program?
Majority of our students are African American. I am starting to see more Caucasian come into the program, and Hispanic students as well. Not saying that they're not in the foster care system. It's just the students that I'm starting to see that we started out with were majority African American students.
What about the cost? Does it cost? I mean, how does Wake Tech afford this?
We have outside donors and funders and individuals at Wake Tech who actually donate to the program, and anyone can donate to the program, actually.
Kelia, you have, I love your career path. You're in cosmetology now, but also psychology?
Yes. This semester, I'm taking classes to transfer to state in the spring, and that's going to be for psychology. But when I finish school, I plan to incorporate the psychology and the cosmetology together, where people would come in my salon and they would actually have counseling sessions and get their hair done at the same time. So it's going to sort of be like a therapeutic.
Wow. Salon. I should come there. I need both a haircut desperately for the last 60 years, but certainly the therapy. So what a great. And Tamisha, you're going to take my job, right?
Yeah. I don't want to necessarily take your job, right? But I do want to be a radio personality. I do. I love to talk. So it's something I've actually been passionate about for a long time. I never really talked about it, but I figure, you know, why waste time doing something I don't want to do when I can pursue my dreams?
There you go.
You only get one life to live. So everybody always say chase them. So that's what I'm doing.
Chase them here. I can't do this forever. So I say hop into this chair and you can finish the show if you want.
Okay.
Here's the thing I would ask Michelle right now, which is you've got five graduates. What are they doing?
Our first graduate, who graduated in 2012, is currently at UNCG, majoring in hospitality management. We had two graduates in 2013. We have one who graduated in plumbing and the other one in dental assisting, and they both are currently working in their field. I had two graduates this past May, 2014. One was early childhood education, who's currently working in that field, and the other one is, she majored in biopharmaceutical technology at Wake Tech. She is currently at North Carolina Central University, majoring in the Bright program, which is their biomanufacturing program. And she is actually there on a full scholarship, because we had some wonderful people actually come in and said they were looking for youth who had been in foster care, and they wanted to fund her education.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank all of you for being on the program today. Michelle Blackman, coordinator of the Fostering Bright Futures program. Kelia Scott and Tamisha Pittman are two students currently in the program. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
You can find out more about the program at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, NPR contributor Martha Woodruff on her debut novel, Small Blessings. Stay tuned.